Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Ben Sobel, Leone. I'm also known as Benny the Groin, Sammy the Schnoz, Elmer the Fudd, Tubby the Tuba, and once as Miss Phyllis Levine. But that was at a party. It was years ago. I smoked at the Tibet and I had a Quaalude, and then suddenly I'm in fishnets and singing show tunes. These things happen, but it has nothing to do with what I'm here today.
You know, that's right. You know,
it doesn't matter
what my name is. I mean, one day I go to bed as the living legend, Joe Galina. And the next thing I know, when I wake up all of a sudden, the legend is gone. I mean, I'm still Joe Galina. But what's important is that all of that knowledge about fantasy sports, all of the strategic advice and that knack for finding those sleepers that other legendary guy had, well, me, Joe Galina, I still got it. And the reason I'm here today is because I'm still going to share it with you. We're going to focus on how Week 2's developments in fantasy baseball are going to influence your Week 3 plans. Specifically, we're going to take a look at the waiver wire, try to dig up some options for you at the middle infield position, you know, shortstops and second baseman. And we're also going to try to dig up some options for you in the outfield. A couple of big names went down with injuries this week. And you're going to need help finding their replacements, especially if you play in one of those larger leagues. It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show starts right now! All right, let's start off with some of the more notable happenings, the news and notes from the past week in fantasy baseball. Kansas City outfielder Alex Rios is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken hand. Speedster Jared Dyson is going to get more opportunities to play the field. Last season, in 290 at-bats, Dyson stole 36 bases in 43 attempts. So if he's on your waiver wire, pick him up, a cheap source of steals for you. Adam Ottavino, like so many analysts had predicted starting way back in spring training, took over the closer job in Colorado, 12 Ks in his first six innings pitched so far. No runs given up. He has two saves already. Victor Martinez, Detroit Tiger first baseman DH, has had to miss some games due to soreness in his surgically repaired knee. Wasn't very high on Martinez coming into the season. Certainly a great player, but let's face it, he had a career year last season. It's going to be tough to duplicate it. He's not getting any younger, and those knees do have a lot of mileage from his catching days, so be aware. No surprise here, Chris Bryant, third baseman for the Cubs, was recalled from the minor leagues. He went 0-for-4 in his first game back with 3 strikeouts. Remember, we pre-taped this show. The show's being taped early on the 18th of April, so we don't have up-to-the-minute stats. I know the Cubbies saved a lot of money by sending him down to the minors, but he was on a tear in spring training. And you know that old school song that says, don't disturb this groove. Well, they did disturb Chris Bryant's groove. He was really in a zone. He's a super talented kid. He was just amazing this spring. But if you drafted him early, you took a chance on him. Now he's got plenty of talent, lots of raw talent skills. Let's just really see how they translate to the big leagues. He could end up with 30 home runs. Or he could end up slumping poorly and being sent back to the minors. Who knows? We may have seen the best that Bryant can provide, but let's wait it out. Who knows? Maybe he'll turn into something real nice this season. But no guarantee. Remember that. Danny Salazar, starting pitcher for the Indians, recalled from the minor leagues, made his first start on Saturday the 18th. He did pitch 6 innings, got 10 strikeouts, gave up 2 walks. He gave up a home run, which has been kind of his downfall, but overall pitched very well. He's expected to remain in the Indians' rotation. Zach McAllister is being moved out into the bullpen. I do want to mention Anthony Disclafani. He pitches in Cincinnati. Tough place to pitch, but so far the starter has looked pretty good. I think I had already mentioned him, but keep an eye out for Anthony Disclafani. Had an opportunity to watch Randall Grichuk, outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, not in person, but they were playing a live game on MLB Network. He's a reserve outfielder for the Redbirds. He's got a live bat, and if someone in the Cardinal outfield does go down, he's going to have some value. He's got lots of power. It's still an occasional base for you, so remember the name Randall Grichuk. Now, some big-name talent went down with injuries this week, and unfortunately, I am paying the price for drafting two big name talent guys that went down for me this week. Yeah, let's play some of that sad MASH music. All right, now one of my personal rules has always been to avoid drafting those injury-prone guys, you know, the Tulowitzkis, the Cargos, the Reyes. Only this season, I broke my own rule. I know it's my own fault, and Jose Reyes does have a history of living on the DL. I looked at the Reyes 2014 season. He played in 143 games, which is very good for him. 2 years ago, he played in 160 games. Basically, I thought he was starting to outgrow this whole injury bug. I took a big gamble on him, and in the short term, I lost.
Idiot! God, so stupid!
I mean, Reyes did start off the season really nice with a .324 batting average, some RBIs, but he's dealing with a cracked rib, and you know how tough they are to deal with, very painful. When and if he's healthy, Reyes gives you good stats for a fantasy shortstop position that isn't very deep, not very deep at all. He's a perennial 290-plus hitter, 10 to 12 homers, 30-plus stolen bases, but I guess I just needed to learn my lesson. So what am I going to do?
You can act like a man!
Okay, I guess you're right. Let me pull myself together. Let's see who might be available on the waiver wire. How about Detroit Tigers shortstop Jose Iglesias? He's owned in about 53% of Yahoo leagues. He's a hot commodity right now. He could steal a base or two for you, basically. You're playing the hot hand right now. You could ride the wave, but don't expect too much from him for the long haul. For now, he's got a microscopic swinging strike rate. As of Friday morning, it was 1.7%. He was batting .481, and he had a 95% contact rate. It's just basically off the charts. You got to strike while the iron's hot sometimes, but just remember it's going to be difficult for him to keep up that kind of pace. Someone in a 14-team league that I'm in picked him up and dropped Marlon Byrd. Now, just an aside, Marlon Byrd has really been struggling. He's been playing like a big bird. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been much of a contact guy in recent years, but his swinging strike rate has just ballooned to 22.7%. It's been rising every season since 2010, and he's hitting a lot more ground balls so far this season, which is not conducive to being a productive fantasy baseball player. I was also kicking the tires on Tim Beckham, the shortstop for the Tampa Rays, but he isn't getting enough at-bats to start the season. He's doing real well. He had a pinch hit home run the other night that's shown flashes of power. He's shown he can steal a base. If you take a look at his minor league numbers, they're pretty impressive. If the Rays do decide to give him regular at-bats, and who knows, they may even be at second base, but I think he'll be eligible for you at shortstop. He might be someone to definitely consider down the road. Monitor him closely, but for now, he's not really the answer just based on the amount of at-bats that he's getting. Now, Phillies shortstop Freddie Galvis has been tearing it up with a batting average over .300. He's never played a full season in the majors. He's got a lifetime .225 lifetime major league batting average, and even his minor league numbers don't suggest that he could hit for average in the big leagues. In a pinch, he might help out, but realistically, he's not a long-term solution to your Reyes problem. I was going to suggest that you consider a Yunel Escobar, who's been playing third base for the Nationals, while Anthony Rendon has been recovering from his knee injury. Most leagues, he's eligible at shortstop, even though he's playing third right now, Escobar is. And he has a lifetime .276 average, which is right about where he's been hitting so far this season. He's available in tons of leagues. He could be a temporary solution to replace Reyes, only now he's dealing with his own injury. He got hurt running out of ground ball in game from April 17th, Friday night. So there goes that idea, right? Last guy I'm going to mention, and he's eligible at so many different positions, is Brock Holt for the Red Sox. I like him. As of Friday, he was batting over .500, but like Beckham, he just doesn't get enough at-bats. Now, if you're lucky enough that maybe you used Reyes in your middle infield spot and you already had a primary shortstop, let's say you're me and you have Hanley Ramirez, who, by the way, knows his way around the DL himself, But let's say that Ramirez was your primary shortstop. Then you could just replace Reyes with someone from the middle infield position, you know, a second baseman. You could grab a second baseman and slide him into your middle infield spot. I was going to suggest that Jonathan Scope. I was already tell you about him. He's playing second base for the Orioles. He's another guy that's got some pop, but eventually he's going to hurt you at batting average. Never walks and strikes out a ton. Like I said, I was going to recommend him. He's gotten off to a nice start, but he ends up with a grade one PCL tear in his left knee and a sprained MCL. He's going to miss a lot of time, so there goes that idea. DJ LeMahieu, second baseman for the Rockies, is basically playing way over his head right now, but he is available on lots of waiver wires. He's not great at one specific skill, doesn't have much power, doesn't have much speed. But with the Coors Field factor, he'll end up the season maybe batting 275, 280, and he could end up being a temporary solution to a shortage at the middle infield position for you. Carlos Gomez was the other big name that went down this week with an injury. Now I have him in two of my four fantasy teams. Of course, Gomez is an outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers, a perennial maybe like a top eight pick in most leagues, definitely a first rounder. And based on two straight, very consistent years, I was hoping for maybe a 285 batting average, 25 homers, 35 steals, just based on his history. But now he's on his 15-day DL, and who knows really how long he's going to be out. Could be 2 to 3 weeks. And now I'm stuck looking for an outfielder. Oh, and by the way, people who are looking for outfielders, anyone who has used Michael Taylor, the center fielder for the Nationals, who is covering the spot for Denard Span, right? You're also going to be probably looking for an outfielder very soon, since Denard Span is healing a lot quicker than was originally thought. He might even be back by the end of this weekend. If you have room on your bench, I might hold on to Taylor for now. You know, Jason Wirth is always getting hurt, so you never know. His time on the bench might be short-lived, but you know, Wirth is a bit fragile himself. So if you do have room for him, you might want to hold on to Taylor. He's actually played pretty well. So in the outfield position, we do have some options. They're all placeholders until a better option presents itself. And you know what? You've got to really monitor that waiver wire because inevitably something always does show up. But for now, how about Gerardo Parra? Gerardo Parra is going to patrol center field in the absence of Carlos Gomez. He's not a terrible option, probably a 10 home run, 10 steal kind of guy, maybe bat 275 for you. I was also checking out Endor Inciarte, outfielder for the Diamondbacks. He's been real hot. He might sit one or two games per week, but I think that maybe a 280 batting average and 25 to 30 steals across a full season is not out of the question. Look, I'm in a 14-team league that allows daily moves, and someone picked him up and dropped Michael Bourne. So he definitely has a bit of fantasy value at this point. Former Rookie of the Year and Chicago Cub Chris Coughlin has gotten off to a nice start. With enough at-bats, he could also give you maybe 10 home runs, 10 steals, maybe a 270 to 275 batting average. Let's face it, Inciarte and Coughlin would just be placeholders in deep leagues and maybe teams that leagues that you play in that have 12 or more teams while waiting for Gomez to make his return. Another guy is Kevin Kiermaier, outfielder for the Tampa Bay Rays, who in one of my leagues, I actually drafted him real late. Didn't really expect much out of him, but he actually has gotten off to a real nice start. He's been a pleasant surprise thus far. I like Houston's Jake Marisnick. Okay, Marisnick. I'd like him more if he wasn't their ninth place hitter. He's got power, he's got speed, and oh yeah, he's an Astro, so he does know how to strike out a little bit. I do think he's worth a look in deep leagues. I had also told you to monitor Mark Canna's progress. I have him on one of my teams. He started off the season on a high note. He's got power, he's getting his at-bats. Another guy that I say, hey, ride the wave, people. Sure, I mean, he can end up like a Chris Colabello from last season. I'm not saying that he's a permanent fixture on your team, but while he's hot, hey, put him in your lineup, especially if you're dealing with some some injuries. He could drop off the face of the earth. He could eventually tank, but for now he's playing well. So just be realistic in your expectations for him for the long haul, okay? Angel Pagan, outfielder for the San Francisco Giants. He's someone that could plug the hole in your fantasy outfield. He's owned in less than 30% of Yahoo leagues. He's got a real low swinging strike rate, high contact percentage. He could steal some bases for you. Might even consider him slightly more than just a placeholder, someone that you might want to keep on your team for the long haul, maybe as your fifth outfielder. When healthy, he's not a bad option, but that a key with him is he's a little bit injury prone. So I have to say that was almost therapeutic. Basically, we worked the waiver wire together, and basically that's what you need to do. Right, I mean, we're all going to have to deal with injuries. We've got to roll with the punches, and let's face it, we're friends, and I'm here to help you out.
You are my friend. You are special. You are my friend. You're special to me.
That's right. You're special, and we're friends. And since we're so close, I'm going to go over a couple of trade questions that were posed to me. Maybe they could help you out. Remember, you could follow me on Twitter, at Joe Gallina, at JoeGallina. Inbox me with any waiver wire trade or lineup questions that you have. This question comes to us from John in Freehold, New Jersey. He asks, who would you rather have, Jake Arrieta or Cole Hamels going forward? Now, without knowing what kind of league John plays in, I think at this point I'm going to go with Arrieta. Both those pitchers are very good. I know people think that I'm not picking Hamels because of his recent struggles. Au contraire, I know everyone is worried about Hamels having given up 7 home runs in just 18 innings of work. But look, Hamels typically gets off to a slow start. It's nothing new. Across his career, he has a lifetime 4.12 ERA in the months of March and April, but he just gets better as the season progresses. His lifetime first half ERA is 3.57, and in the second half it drops to 2.93. I pick Hamels in this scenario because of his unknown factor. He might get traded, and I'm not sure what team he's going to end up with. So it could be the Red Sox, which wouldn't be such a bad thing, but Arrieta has found a great new home in Chicago. His overall stats are good for this season. I know it's early. His swinging strike rate isn't where it's going to be, but so far his first pitch strike percentage is way up, which means that he's getting ahead of batters. His xFIP, which is a good predictor of future performance, is excellent. So, John, there is your long-winded and thought-out response to your question. Thanks for writing in. Let's do one more. Ray Marshall from Queens inboxed me. He wants to know if he should do this trade. He gives up Jose Bautista for J.D. Martinez and Jason Kipnis.
Hell yeah!
That's my answer, Ray. I wish that Ray would have given me more info about the size of his league, etc. I love Bautista. He's a prolific home run hitter. He's off to a slow start, but I'm not worried about him. His line drive percentage is up, his ground ball percentage is down, and his fly ball rate is up, which is good for a power hitter like himself. It's almost too early to take credence in those kind of stats as we just go into the third week of the season. But even though Kipnis is struggling again after a quick start, his contact rate this season is at about 90%, which is just basically off the charts. I know he's not going to be able to sustain it. His swinging strike rate was super low. It's under 5. I think that by the end of the season, he bounces back, maybe 18 home runs, 25 steals. That's not out of the question for him. J.D. Martinez, he's got 4 home runs and 9 RBIs so far, and 25 to 30 home runs and a .275 batting average. That's definitely a possibility for him. I like the Kipnis and Martinez side of the trade. I almost wonder, Ray, if your league commissioner is going to let this trade go through. Many leagues allow vetoes on trades. This one might be too one-sided. So the last guy I want to talk about as we close out this week's show is A-Rod. He's really making me look bad. I went on my friend Tom Abraham's show. He does a show in Naples, Florida every morning, and he asked me about A-Rod. I said he wasn't fantasy relevant anymore, but with a 344 batting average, 4 home runs and 11 RBIs through Saturday morning, in some ways he looks like the A-Rod of old. He's catching up to the fastball, which is a good sign. It almost seems that that year-long suspension was almost like a blessing in disguise. It allowed his body to heal after, you know, he did have hip replacement surgery. You know, we don't know too much about what he did during his time off, what kind of workouts he was doing, whether he found the new wonder drug that wouldn't show up in drug tests. I mean, did I really say that out loud? I guess I did. It's okay. He wasn't going to be a guest on this podcast anyway. But to A-Rod, basically...
I like what you're doing. What you're doing is good.
I still question whether or not his body could withstand the rigors of a full 162-game season after all of the PEDs that he took and subjected his body to. I'm still not convinced, but as a Yankee fan, I do hope he continues making me look like a liar. Well, that's about all that she wrote. Who is she anyway? Well, you know, her. We haven't done this in a while, but let's give all of our guests a shout-out before we go. We've had contributions by Ben Billy Crystal Sobelione, The Rock, The Singer Lord, Chris Farley, Don Corleone, Set Us Straight, Stone Cold, Murray the Cop, and of course, everybody's friend, Mr. Rogers. Just love that guy. Everyone is clamoring to be a part of the hottest fantasy sports cast in the world. Remember, you could always reach out to me on Twitter. My handle is at Joe Galina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Hit me up with any lineup, trade, or waiver wire questions. Whatever else is on your mind, I'm glad to be a soundboard if you need me to. Please check out the link to this podcast. It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show on iTunes. Take a minute to write a review. It would really give us a little nice boost. Check out my debut article that was just published for the Roto Experts. That's right. I'm privileged to join the folks at rotoexperts.com. There's always a lot of great content being updated daily on rotoexperts.com. Make sure to give my debut article on who to buy low and who to sell high on rotoexperts.com. Give it a read. Until next week, remember, I want you to keep forging straight ahead. And if you do, all of your fantasies will become realities. I am Joe Galina. And thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show.
Oh, we are the boys in chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.